So, what do endocrinologists do? So, endocrinologists are primarily responsible for caring for the glands or the hormones of people. It's primarily an outpatient specialty. So, I tend to see people in an office setting. I see people for consults or follow-up. I do some inpatient medicine. So, if someone is in hospital with a hormone problem, I may see them in hospital for the attending team. But at least in this hospital, in this setting, we don't tend to have patients admitted under endocrinologists in the hospital. They tend to be admitted under internal medicine. Okay. When you say there's a bed and butter, every single specialty has its sort of characteristic disease, right? So if it's cardiology, it's coronary artery disease. If it's nephrology, it's your chronic renal failure. And for us, it's definitely diabetes. So type 1 and type 2 diabetes. If you like diabetes, it's probably a good thing to go into because that's what you actually see. Okay. The typical patient population, that's one of the reasons why I really like endo, actually. In internal medicine, you tend to see a lot of people who are maybe at the end of their lives, so 60, 70, 80 plus. A lot of it's the chronic disease, and that's a lot of what you see in hospital, particularly when patients are admitted. What I like about my specialty is I see people on the other spectrum. So I see people who are young and people who are old, and a lot of my patient population actually is a young patient population. I see men and women, so both sexes, if that's important to you, and a wide range of ages. And I see both acute problems, and then I see lots of patients that I see chronically over time, where you actually have an opportunity to build up a relationship with them. Okay. Any questions about that? So why did you choose to pursue in endocrinology, and why did you decide? So when I was kind of sitting where you guys were, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to apply to CARMS for my subspecialty. And it starts to become a little bit more stressful as you get up in your years, and you're trying to figure out where to do my research, where to do what I'm going to do so I can actually get into the residency of my choice, right? And it's really hard, at this point, obviously, when you're sitting on that side of the seat, to figure out what you think you want to do for the rest of your life. So how did I decide? Well, the first decision I made, I think, was trying to figure out if I was an intervention-type person or a non-intervention-type person. I think if people are sitting here, they're probably not the surgeon mentality, is my guess. And that's a really important first step to try and decide, right? Because it's kind of a lot of what you're going to be doing. I spend a lot of time talking to people, actually. So I talk to, our CBL leaders, your mentors, your case group leaders, whoever I could get in contact with, and ask them about what their life was like. And I actually had the privilege when I was at, I went to med school in Kingston, and one of my clinical skills or physician skills development, whatever you guys call it here, a leader, they were an endocrinologist. And I was really impressed with her clinical skills, actually. So I thought that would be kind of a neat thing to be able to do it well. When I was also going through med school, I was actually trying to decide between obs-gyn and endocrinology. And when I went and did an elective in obs-gyn, what I realized, I wasn't really interested in women who were going to labor or the whole delivery process or the surgery. I was interested in those women who had medical problems who were pregnant. So the women with high blood pressure or diabetes or hypertension, that's what I was really cared about. So then I made that decision for internal medicine. And then when I was in internal medicine, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I thought, okay, at least I can delay the decision for a couple of years. And I actually had a staff person who was an endocrinologist when I was on CTU. And that made a big influence in me. And also, a lot of what I thought I wanted to do was actually taking care of some pregnant women who have medical problems, and a lot of people who do that are endocrinologists, particularly with diabetes, and that's part of where I was kind of led down that path. And then I also was trying to make the decision if I wanted to be in the hospital all the time with acute medicine, or if I wanted something that I could actually do a little bit more, have a little bit more control over my hours. And that's one of the things I really liked about endocrinology. It can be an outpatient. I can have a relatively, normal hours of a, 8 to 5. I am on call. I do all those other things. But I have a lot more control over it. And I thought, when I'm 50, 60, 70, although I love acute medicine and I think it's really exciting, I wasn't so sure I wanted to be in the hospital at 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm 60. So I made it partly for lifestyle choice, partly for the diseases that I see, and partly because I think it fit my personality. I like trying to figure things out, and endocrinology is all about figuring things out. What do you like about the endocrinologist? So, I like the problems. So, I really like the diagnostic dilemma. So, if that kind of, you know, makes you excited about medicine, that's probably a good thing for you. We often have people with, you know, interesting presentations, not very clear signs and symptoms. We have lots of tests we can do to try and figure it out, and it makes sense. You can rule things in, you can rule things out. And I can also actually treat a problem, which I really find very satisfying. So people can come to me with things like Graves' disease, where they're hyperthyroid, I can treat them, and they get better, right? As opposed to some diseases where, you know, you're doing lots of things, but really what you're doing is just progress, you're slowing down the progression of their chronic disease, right? So that's one of the reasons why I really like endocrinology. And I also really like, as I said before, the breadth of ages. I like being able to see the young people in their 20s, and I like being able to see the people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So I like that breadth of population there. And particularly for me, I have a lot of patients with type 1 diabetes who I actually often see when they transition to me when they're 18. And then I see them through the course of their life. So I see them as they go to university. I see them when they're getting ready to have their family. I see them when they have their kids, you know, jobs moving. And I really like that kind of long-term relationship you start to build with people, being someone taking care of a disease like that. Questions? What do you dislike about being an endocrinologist? Not really a lot I dislike about it. I can say some things that I maybe miss about endocrinology. And that would be probably, I really like acute care medicine, actually. I spent a number of years being doing internal medicine at the Ottawa Hospital and being through the attending on CTU. So I kind of miss the, you know, acute patient in the hospital getting really sick. I don't see that as much anymore. So that's one bit you kind of lose a little bit with endocrinology. But, you know, there's always opportunity. If you want to do both, you can. The other thing I don't really like about endocrinology, probably that, you know, the amount of work that we have to do is increasing because the number of people with diabetes is increasing. That being said, there's lots of job opportunity out there. You'll never be without a job because diabetes is not going away anytime soon, unfortunately. So those are really the only two things I can think of about not liking about being an endocrinologist. Yeah?
Can you give us a bit more details about what the job market is like for endocrinologists?
Yeah. So I can say in Ottawa, most of the endocrinologists are actually in the 49 to 50 plus range. A lot are in the over 60 range, so there are lots of people who are probably going to be retiring, and that's pretty true across Canada. We don't really have enough endocrinologists to probably to serve the population, the growing population that we have, and growing population with chronic disease. The other nice thing about endocrinology is you're not really linked, because it's not a very heavy procedure-based specialty, you're not linked to a hospital that needs high-tech equipment for a job, right? So if you're going into something like radiology or nuclear medicine, like you need that whole infrastructure and you need someone to actually have that in place for you to set up shop. As an endocrinologist, you can pretty much set up shop anywhere as long as you have some access to, you know, diabetes education services, really, right? So you have a lot of portability there. And a lot of people particularly, you know, it depends on how far away you want to go. I mean, if you want to get a job in right in downtown Toronto, probably it might be a little bit difficult, but not necessarily, actually. You go out to more of the outskirts. But as you move further afield, there's tons of opportunity for endocrinologists. People are always looking for endocrinologists. So the question was, as an endocrinologist, do you have to be affiliated with a hospital? So the answer is no, you don't. There are lots of endocrinologists that do practice who are not affiliated with a hospital. It's nice to be affiliated with a hospital because if you do have a patient, let's say you want to get admitted or have specific tests, at least you have an easier access for that patient. But there are lots of people who practice without hospital privileges. Lots. Yeah.
Are there any opportunities for
So are there opportunities for procedures in endocrinology? So yes, there are. So probably there's one procedure that we tend to do. So we do fine needle aspiration biopsies. So if you like to do biopsies, you can use ultrasound. That's our procedure, but it's not a procedure-based specialty. So research is very important in endocrinology. So there are two questions here. So points of research overall, there's lots of research going on in endocrinology right now, particularly in the area of diabetes. It's pretty very much a growth industry in terms of new therapeutics, new ways of treating disease, new ways of risk stratifying. So there's lots of new things coming up the pipe. Part of that question may sort of boil down to where you think you want to practice and what you think you want to do, right? So if you think your career track is along the lines of academic medicine, so you want to be in a university setting and aligned with a tertiary care hospital, then research for you as an individual or as an individual endocrinologist is very important because you need to be academic about what you do, right? So you're either investigating something, so you can be a basic science, that's your area. You could be a clinician investigator, where sort of your lab is your clinic. You're looking for interesting things and trying to work up individual families or cases per se. You can do quality of care type research. You can do clinical epidemiology type research. There's lots that's available that people do. It's pretty much a lot of endocrinologists actually are very heavy within the field of research. Yes.
Are there a lot of opportunities for endocrinologists in clinical trials?
Yes.
Are you heavily recruited? I mean, by clinical trials.
Yes. So a lot of them actually are lots of endocrinologists actually. The clinical trials with endocrinologists are actually investigator led, right? So the endocrinologist comes up with a question or whatever it is they want to do, and are often the ones who are spearheading or organizing that trial across Canada. And there's lots of people here in Ottawa. Within Ontario particularly, that do a lot of quite wide-reaching and international clinical trial work within the area of endocrinology.
Okay. Would you be always dependent on other physicians referring patients to you, or are there any other ways to see patients?
So you are a subspecialist or specialist. So as such, the vast majority of your patients do come from physician referrals, right? So, and you're a subspecialty of internal medicine, right? So the vast majority do. You know, there's some physicians that do accept sort of direct patient walk-ins, but that rarely. You may see patients because you happen to, you know, be in a acute care setting where someone has gotten sick and they need someone to see that patient. But the vast majority, you are being referred from probably primary care, so family physician, or another internist or surgeon or whoever. There's no lack of work though. there's no sort of lack of patients. That's for sure.
Yeah. I just want to follow up to that question, but like for endocrinology or some of the other internal medicine specialties, how do referrals work?
So the question is how do referrals work? So often what happens is a patient is normally linked, if they're an outpatient, normally linked with a family physician. Family physician may discover some problem that they don't feel that they have the expertise to manage. And that family physician will then refer that person to an endocrinologist or whoever. Who the family physician refers to depends a bit on who the family physician knows, who's in their area, what the wait lists are, and then how good the family physician thinks the service is from that consultant. Right? So all those things kind of come into play. It's really not that difficult to establish yourself. There are lots of things people do if you're trying to establish yourself in the community. Particularly with primary care, you can do things like, you know, if you're doing continuing medical education events, people start to know who you are because you're doing education for them. People do sort of introductory type letters, that type of thing, and explain exactly what they're interested in seeing and what they do. And then it's really about doing a good job, right, for you and your patient. Because the family physician will ask the patient, how did you like Dr. X, Y, and Z? And the patient likes you or not. Or the family physician will want to know, too, did you see the patient in a timely way? Did they get their questions answered? Do they feel like that patient is well cared for? So endocrinologists are actually quite well. So, we are on par, I think. Most of us are on par with probably general internists. You're looking anywhere from 250 to about 400, depending on how hard you want to work. Okay. You're not going to need to worry about money, really. I don't think. Most physicians are not. You're not going to need to worry about money. You're a physician. You're going to do fine. There is some, there may be some discrepancy in terms of, surgeons, et cetera, tend to earn more than internist-type people. But that's changing. And a lot of it's been changing towards the benefit of subspecialties like endocrinology, because now we have a lot of what we call billing codes that are geared particularly for us that take into account the fact that we do have to spend longer with people sometimes and do more investigations. And also the fact that sometimes we need to see people on a continuing basis, so what we call chronic care codes, that do actually give us more money for the people that we see. And then there are other things too. So they're made depending on how you're remunerated in your area. You may actually have a salary depending on how that sort of works out for you. Okay. Any questions there? Okay. What's the lifestyle like? So I have a pretty good lifestyle, I say. So I'm married, I have two little kids. They're 10 and 8. I take them trick-or-treating, I can pick them up in school, I can be there for them for breakfast in the morning if I organize my life. So that's the big thing. So that's very important to me. At least the next couple of years for me are very important because I want to be around for my children. So I just make sure I organize myself so I can do that. So I book time off for vacations. I take a month off in the summer because I want to be around for them when they're off. I book off their school vacations. I do have a cleaning lady, and I have a really, really good caregiver who I pay very, very well. So I can take away some of the other stuff that might be eating up my time so I can spend the time with the people that I want to spend time with. The fact that it is a pretty much 9-to-5 type specialty makes it easier for me to do those things. Okay. So, and it's a little easier for me to organize my life. It's unlikely for me to have to miss a performance or miss something like that because, someone came in and I can't get away. And I also have a fair amount of flexibility because I have a lot of people in our call group that you can make sure the days that you want free are free, but you do have to be somewhat organized about it. Yeah?
Is there a lot of on-call work for endocrinology?
So my call is actually very, comparatively speaking, if you talk to, internal medicine, for example, quite light, I think. And I have done both, so I know. There's not a lot that they're calling us directly for. Sometimes on the weekend it can be busy doing consults, but I'm rarely in the hospital in the middle of the night for something. And my call right now is probably, there's about 13 people on the call schedule. I'm not doing a whole lot at the moment. Yeah? Yeah, so the way we in Ottawa organize our call schedule is we have, we do a number of weeks on service. So when we're on service, we do two nights of call per week. So either Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, Thursday. And I normally do about 8 weeks of inpatient consult service, so I might do something like 16-30 kind of thing. Weeknights of call, which is basically I'm wearing my pager and they might call me, but it's not often I'm called overnight, sometimes. And then I do probably 1 in 13 weekends, so it's really not that bad. Yeah, at all. What kind of settings can you practice in endocrinology? You can practice it anywhere, actually. So rural or in the city. It may change a little bit what you need to do as an endocrinologist in those areas. Sometimes if you're more rural, you might need to do a bit more internal medicine or be on the internal medicine call schedule, which may affect things for you. But there really isn't a major difference in terms of where you can practice because a lot of it is outpatient, somewhat driven by yourself. You know, the biggest thing that we really need access to is dietitians and diabetes nurse educators if you're going to be doing lots of diabetes, and perhaps some lab testing facilities. If you have access to those things, in most communities you do have access to those things, at least from a diabetes education perspective, then you should be able to practice pretty much wherever you want or wherever there's a need. Any questions for that? Okay, so any interesting places? So the answer is, yeah, I see a lot of interesting places. So the one thing about endocrinology that is kind of neat is we do see the weird and the wonderful, right? So we have our common disease is common, but then our unusual endocrine disease, which is a lot of what we do actually, is the really interesting cases. So things like, you know, acromegaly, which is sort of the Andre the Giant over there, the bearded lady, that's polycystic ovarian syndrome, goiters and that type of thing. We see lots of those things. So what advice would you give to if you were starting to pursue a career? So I would say if you want to go into endocrinology, it's getting a bit more competitive than it had been in previous years. So if you are interested in it, I think you really should try and get yourself hooked up earlier as opposed to later. And what I mean by that is go do electives. People, if you're trying to get into a residency program, no matter what it is, people are going to rank you based on if they think you're a good candidate. So looking at your academic record, your research. The more you can do, the more you can actually do and do something to completion, the better. You know, so if you can get, you know, papers or posters or presentations, do as much of that as you can. And go to the place you want to do your residency at and do an elective. Okay. If they don't, if there's no evidence to them that you're truly interested in them, they may not rank you as highly. Okay. And then obviously a good reference letter from someone in the field you want to go into. Okay. And if you're doing, if you're trying to back up and things like that, make sure people write the right letter. Okay. You know, don't say it's pretty embarrassing if they send you the letter, you know, XYZ is interested in gastroenterology when you actually are interested in endocrinology. So make sure you have the right person in the right place in the right subspecialty. Because it does happen, believe me. You know, a really strong personal letter. Okay, so you know, you really need to think, you know, the bottom line with medicine, you know, you've made a big decision to be in medicine anyways, right? You probably, within medicine, you're going to find something that's going to suit your personality, your interests, and hopefully give you something that you find will be a rewarding career for your lifestyle as well. But you have to pick something that you like, right? Otherwise, it's a very long career. So it's either the diseases that you're seeing or the mix of things that you do is really important. And the only way to really know is to go and talk to people and ask them about their lives. Okay? Ask them about their week. So do research if you can. Do lots of electives if you can. And go do make it known to the places you're interested in that you really are interested. Stay in touch. Email them. Send a thank you note. Do a strong interview. Dress professionally, all those things, those little motherhood things make a big difference. Okay. What does the future hold for endocrinology? I think actually the future is very bright for endocrinology right now. As I said, diabetes is a growth industry, so if you like diabetes, there's lots going on in it. Since I graduated med school, there's been at least 3 or 4 new therapeutic agents specifically for diabetes. So it's becoming more and more finely specialized. There's a lot going on in type 1 diabetes. If you like that kind of patient population, lots of things like insulin pumps and artificial pancreases and these types of things, which are really quite fascinating. There's also lots going on from a sort of a more genetic perspective with things like thyroid cancer, which we also take care of. So I think there's lots out there for endocrinologists. And I think there's lots of future demand. Definitely, absolutely. There haven't been a lot of endocrinologists that have graduated over the last little bit. There's been ups and downs in terms of people's desire to do things. But we are an aging population, there is no absence of work, for sure. So I thought I'd stop on the top 10 reasons why I chose endocrinology. So, my little thing didn't work very well. But number one, Number 10, for me, it makes sense. Number 9, there's no need to scope. It's a nice clean specialty. I don't like people body fluids on myself. It's a competitive income, definitely. You're not doing any worse than anybody else. I think you're probably doing better in some instances. There's lots of job opportunity. Lifestyle, if that's important to you. Exciting area. There's lots and lots of opportunity for translational and epidemiological research, if you're interested in that. There's the ability to actually cure disease, which to me is, again, a very satisfying thing, and to modify outcomes for patients. So if I can keep them out of the cardiologist's office, I've done my job. So I'm happy about that. Great cases, wide variety of ages, and my number one was, you know, do protective medicine so you can keep the cardiologist out of business. That's my end. So I have to answer any questions. If you guys have questions at the end, yes, go ahead. Okay, so the question was how much is on diagnosis and how much is on treatment and and follow-up. So probably I'd say 30% on diagnosis, depends. The thing is a lot of people come to us somewhat already diagnosed, right? So sometimes it's confirming what the family doctor has thought, you know, so confirming things. Sometimes there's a de novo, no one knows what's going on, we have to kind of figure it out. A lot of it, though, is deciding on the therapeutic management and following your therapy. So I spend probably the majority of my time doing that.
Is it common for endocrinologists to do a fellowship? And if so, in what?
Yeah, so often people do fellowships in different things. So most endocrinologists actually, it depends on where you want to practice. So if you want to do community endocrinology, you're probably fine after your 5 years of residency. You may or may not want to spend a little time gaining some more clinical expertise in an area if your community needs that. So you might want to spend a little time doing bone or doing more diabetes or more pituitary or thyroid cancer or something like that. If you're thinking of going to an academic center, most people do at least another 2 to 3 years of training, probably in research or medical education. Okay, so it's rare to sort of do. You need to do something else if you want to be in an academic center, most likely. Okay, so most subspecialties of internal medicine have a disease that they see more than anything else, and if you just choose a subspecialty of internal medicine, you have to be able to like that disease because you're probably going to see that, you know, 70% of your life. For us, it's diabetes, okay? So, now, that being said, there is a wide variety in diabetes, right? So you can see primarily type 1. If you're interested in patients with type 1 diabetes, you can see primarily type 2 diabetes. There's a wide spectrum of severity of diabetes. You can see people at the beginning or the end. You can do diabetes prevention. So there's a lot of sort of variety, I think, in our bread and butter disease. Just like how cardiology is coronary disease or COPD for respirology. and family.
No, absolutely, absolutely. It was very good. Yeah. And you definitely made it relevant.
I can't see that.